from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 239, holiday special. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always by my man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Man, it's the holiday special. I'm doing just fine, man. I am out. It's Christmas time in the city, Brandon Reif, and Crossroads listening audience, man. If you don't have your items today and you live in the Circle City, man, you need to step on it, man, because it's a blizzard coming, or it's a mini snowstorm coming or something, man, tomorrow afternoon. And, man, and people are out and about, you know what I'm saying, crazy, Brandon Reif. But all that being said, man, I'm good. But, like, I know we got a great show tonight. I know we got some NFL recap. I know we got some NBA and college football. I'm sorry, college basketball recap. And I know we also got a special guest tonight, man. But, you know, so I don't want to steal your thunder or anything like that. But yeah, give us the official rundown of tonight's show.
Yeah, we've got NFL talk tonight, Indianapolis Colts and their historic weekend that they had. Some news and notes from around the world of professional football. A little bit of college hoops this past weekend. Myself and Jonathan were at the Indy Classic. We'll recap that. We've got Tanner tonight coming in at 7:30. We are doing our college bowl pick'em week number two tonight. So we will do those 13 bowl games this evening at 7:30 to get them all in. And at 7 o'clock, we have exclusive interview. I'm going to say we have a reoccurring friend of the program guest, the new United Wrestling World Champion, Danny Limelight, will be calling into the show. We'll be talking with him, catching up with what he's been up to. His championship he just recently won, and we'll be catching up with that. So that's going to be a great, great, great interview. So, and I did hear today, John, a research. I don't think he's posted it everywhere, obviously, and he's retweeted everything, which we love. But I guess it's on tape delay because it actually hasn't shown on the tube yet, the actual match. So I was looking for it.
Oh, he looked good. I think he might have, like, I've seen it. Like, you might have had to pay for it, but it's out there, man. But we'll learn all the particulars when Danny calls in about a half hour or so. But we better get the think out first, man. So let's talk about these miserable Colts.
Yeah, Indianapolis Colts, John, up 33-0 over the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings look like frauds at halftime. The Colts look like world beaters. They got the ship righted after the bye week. Vikings come out, score 36 in the second half. Vikings win in overtime, 39-36 over the Colts. The biggest comeback in NFL history, John. Oh, my.
Why did it happen to happen? Why did it happen to happen to the Colts, man, in all the seasons right now, man? So we'll get into the hot mess of it, right? As you and I, while the game was going on, ladies and gentlemen, me and Brandon were actually at the Classic downtown. We were watching Ball State playing Illinois State. And then kind of, you know what I'm saying, in the second half, as the second half started for the Colts, man, it just kind of took everybody's attention. Unfortunately, it kind of went off of the game because, I mean, it was a pretty good game. We were watching this competitive game between Ball State and Illinois State. And the meltdown just started to happen, and, you know, the Vikings – I mean, everybody kind of expected the Vikings to make a push. But, like, dude, with 30 points, man, dude, 30 points, you were up. And you just let a team and pressure and a coach who didn't know, you know what I'm saying, how to, you know what I'm saying, call a timeout or a quarterback who couldn't – and an offense who couldn't get into the end zone – all those things kind of collapsed onto you that day because you had a great special team effort in the first half and you had a great defensive effort in the first half. And the offense didn't do you really any favors going further. And that's what happened on Saturday. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I was in the media green room of Gabridge. And, you know what I'm saying, local media was like, no, they can't be, you know, they were already, you know what I'm saying, waiting for a meltdown. And I'm like, man, come on, man. Surely the Colts can get a stop, or surely they can convert a third, you know what I'm saying, a third down. And it never happened, Brandon.
No.
It was just a meltdown. And, you know, what the tongue lashing that they got, you know, via Twitter and, you know, and radio and becoming, I mean, and even on, you know, nationally with ESPN, is rightfully due, man. Everybody should enjoy some of that. I mean, you know, and I say enjoy sarcastically, everybody should enjoy some of that state. But, man, I know. What do you do? Where do you go afterwards, man? You know what I'm saying? When you look at something like that, Brandon, what were some of your takes on the game?
Yeah, I think the Colts were the Colts, unfortunately, kind of what this year has been. Jim Irsay has created this team to be a complete laughing stock. It's just another thing in the 2022 season. That's crazy. It's the same things we've talked about over time with this defense. You know, obviously no Shaq Leonard in there, no Kenny Moore or whatnot, but you're up 30-something, right? Something's working right in the first half. It sounds like there was no adjustments made, or, okay, yeah, you don't need to make any adjustments because you're up 33-nothing. But, okay, we have to plan for them making adjustments. This is how we're going to counter what they possibly could be doing to us. That never happened. Fourth and one, couldn't get it. Third downs, stops, punts, interceptions. My God, Kirk Cousins tried to hand it to you on a silver platter, and you still couldn't capitalize on it. Now you're staring at a 4-9-1 record, and damn it, you're not technically out of the playoffs yet. There's still a scenario for you to get in and win this division because Tennessee is just pissing the bed right now with this conference. They're 7-7. The Jaguars have a shot. They're 6-8. We'll talk them, but you got a shot, but like you said, half the media and half the fan base is pissed about the loss. The other half should be happy as hell because you're getting yourselves set up for a good draft pick for next year. This week, you play the day after Christmas, another national televised game. This will be your third one in a row, and the other one was our fourth one in a row. And the problem was in the last two, you embarrassed somebody, and then you've been embarrassed. But now you got to take on the Chargers, and a hot Chargers team that I'm hot on, John. I'm a big fan of that Chargers team. I told you last week it's starting to set up the table for them. But, I would say Dumbass of the Week award would go to the Colts, but I think the Patriots got to take that one. So,
oh man, no. Well, at least they got a record. That was a horrible play, man.
Oh my, what are you thinking?
That was terribly boneheaded. You know what I'm saying? That's all that can be said about that. If anybody hasn't seen that, the end of that Patriot game, the laterals, and what was it? Brandon, was it a lateral interception? Something
yeah.
like that.
So it was. Ramon Stevenson took a run, had a good gain on it, about 20 something yards. He lateraled it back to Jacoby Myers. No time on the clock. Jacoby Myers went to throw it back to Mac Jones, which I don't know why you're throwing it to him of all people. It's a tie game, people. They're not down. Take it to overtime. And
right.
And he threw a perfect pass to the former, former Patriot, Chandler Jones. And he ran it back. He truck-sticked Mac Jones. His face is
right.
Still in that ground at the stadium. And Raiders walk it off against the Patriots. Wild, wild win.
Wild, wild win, man. So yeah, I don't know, man. But let's go back to the Colts, man. So let's go back and look at this and see where they might go as far as repair. I mean, so yeah, you're right.
There's no repair.
They got Nick Foles. So again, not necessarily. You're definitely not putting out your best. After the quarterback is that doesn't really matter, man, because quarterback play it couldn't get no worse,
right?
So like, listen, man, they traded Naheem Hines, you basically deactivated Jonathan Taylor, you know what I'm saying? This is I don't know, Brandon. Like, do they entertain trade offers for some name players that – I mean, again, I'm just saying, I'm asking everybody to put your own little GM – I mean, everybody does it anyway. Put your own little GM hats on it. And again, ladies and gentlemen, there's somebody going to be this, I know, but nobody's going to come here and coach for Jim Irsay. Come on, he's going to sign an $8 million check, and somebody's going to be here. Okay, it might not be the person you think is he or she might be, but it's going to be somebody, and then somebody's going to be, you know what I mean, and away you go. But when the new regime comes in, do they keep Shaq Leonard? Do they keep a Jonathan Taylor around? Does Sam Ehlinger get a fair shot as a number two? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of answers. There's a lot of questions that arise for me when I think about it.
Yeah. My opinion, Zach Moss.
It ain't gonna be the top five pick or top six pick, and that's gonna be it. That's the thing that's gonna magically, deliciously save the Colts the next two seasons. Not. Unfortunately, that's all I'm
saying. No, I mean, you got Jonathan Taylor, MVP. You're going to get the most value that you can out of him now. Zach Moss ran against that Vikings, 24 carries, 81 yards. I guarantee his contract's not that huge. So,
right.
You know, running backs are done by 30. I understand that, but you might as well get this. You have the most value in Jonathan Taylor. And sometimes you need to trade in that fancy car that you love so much that looks great and it's going to run great for the next how many years. But sometimes you need to trade in, John, because you got to pay those other bills, right? You've let those other bills stack up every single year. Well, now they're coming collecting. And this offensive line is going to be coming to collect here soon. And you've got to pay for those bills. So sometimes you have to get rid of those shiny toys, whether it's Jonathan Taylor, whether it's a Darius Leonard, where it's a Zaire Franklin, you gotta write those, fix those things. And it starts with the GM as well. I mean, Ballard is tucked tail. I mean, I sound like Dan Dockich, but ever since this fiasco has started and we saw his one inning, he's tucked tail. He ain't said a word. So, gotta do something.
Stop. But let's think about it, man. Does he really want his, you know what I'm saying? Does he got his resume sent to Tennessee already? You know what I mean?
He's got to have it somewhere.
There's that too. Right,
I don't think he's going to go to Tennessee. You know? Tennessee sees what he does up here, and they don't want that. They just fired a guy that had a successful record.
That's because he was clashing with the coach, right? There's a little bit more stories behind closed doors. You know what I'm saying? We have ownership overreach here, and that's why Ballard's tucked tail. I'm not trying to give Ballard no passes here. There's some other ways that a quarterback probably could have been addressed this year. You know what I'm saying? When I did my pre-mock draft, and again, I'm not kicking the Colts in the balls for or anything like that. They said go get them Matt Ryan when the homie Desmond Ridder. And I'm not saying he's about to blow anybody's doors off or anything like that. The kid from Cincinnati was there available for them to pick, and they chose to go somewhere else. If you want to go backwards and talk about other previous drafts, could they have drafted a Jalen Hurts? I know everybody's the Colts, you know what I'm saying? If rumor mills is supposed to be believed, Frank Reich wanted to draft Jalen Hurts, and Chris Ballard was totally against it, man. So again, I don't know, man. It's going to be – everybody's going to write a book afterwards, right? I wouldn't be surprised if Frank Wright and Chris Ballard write a season on the brink with the book about the last two seasons with the Colts, man. But they need a quarterback. We know
historic.
This. To answer my own kind of question, they need a quarterback. They definitely need to get a little bit more dynamic and tight end. And if there's – I do like Jonathan Taylor, having him around here, but – yeah, this is the team that traded Marshall Faulk, for crying out loud, and then he became an MVP. So don't hold Jonathan Taylor back. You know what I'm saying? This is his worst season as a Colt. He's been injured. He's had fumble. He's been fumble prone. I mean, maybe you can repair your team and get a king's ransom. Can Jonathan Taylor get you two second round draft picks right now? Maybe. You know what I'm saying? So I think they entertain, you know what I'm saying, a blow-up in the offseason. So I don't know. Who else? I don't want to be all about Colts, man, on the NFL tip, man, because, again, that's a hot mess. What about your Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yeah, Steelers get a big win in Carolina. Mitch Trubisky played well. I thought Steelers went 24-16. Mitch, 179 yards, serviceable 17-22. Deontay Johnson, 10 targets, 10 catches, 98 yards. Mitch, he got rid of the ball when he needed to get rid of it. Najee, 86 yards and a touchdown. That run game was picking up with Warren. Defense looked great. Well, not great, but good, serviceable. Yeah, they held Sam Darnold, and they got a win. We're 6-8 with three games left in the season. Big one is this Saturday. Christmas Eve, a night game on Christmas Eve at 8:15, Raiders and Steelers, both teams 6-8 coming in. Obviously the Raiders just came off of what they did. I will say this, there is no chance in hell that the Pittsburgh Uh-oh. Steelers will lose this game this Saturday night on Christmas Eve. No chance. This was the 50-year anniversary of the Immaculate Reception. 50 years since against the same team on Raiders on the same Christmas Eve day. It's jersey retirement day. Only the third time in history.
No way in hell.
Third time. Jersey retirement day was supposed to be an honorary day for the Immaculate Reception for Franco Harris. John, obviously the news that one of the Pittsburgh greats, Franco Harris, passed away this morning. Shockingly, just days before he was supposed to be honored with a jersey retirement and the 50th anniversary with all these festivities, there is no chance in hell this Steelers
on,
team
man.
Is going to get beat by the Raiders. No
hey,
chance.
Man, listen, the Raiders kind of surprised us this weekend, picking up the victory. That might be against their opponent's boneheadedness rather than what anything that they did, right? I think Brandon. You know me, man. I'm not no Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I'm not necessarily a huge fan. I respect Mike Tomlin and what he's been able to do as a coach. I think a lot of times people pick, you know, saying kind of take shots at him because, oh, you know, saying, you know what I mean, because they think he inherited a team and not necessarily kind of put one together. But Mike Tomlin ain't been there. He's been there longer than 2 years, people. We're not talking about an inherited team. Like, this dude's a good coach. So, you know, everybody knows they're in a transitional time with their quarterback, right? Like, so, come on, man. Everybody kind of counting them out and thinking they could be a six-win team. Again, nobody's beating no drum for anybody for six wins and potentially, you know, 11 losses or whatever, but the Steelers will win. I mean, he said the next three games, they can potentially go 9-8, right? And be locked out. I'm still out of the playoffs, right? But mathematically, but go 9-8, man.
Keep the streak.
Keep up the streak, man. I'm signing up for it, dude. I think I don't know if they go 9-8, Brandon, but I think they definitely. I mean, we know that they're better than a 4-win, 5-win team, but a lot of people had them kind of going into this season.
I found my audio before the season. I said they'd be 7-9. I thought they'd be 7-10. So we're kind of on that path right now. You get this win, you're 7-8. And you got last two against Baltimore and Cleveland. I have no doubt that they're going to win this game. Kenny Pickett's back. He'll be back playing this week. Tomlin said today. And if you want a prop bet, go ahead and put one in there that Kenny Pickett will throw a touchdown pass to Pat Freiermuth. The reason why I say that is when Pat Freiermuth and Kenny Pickett's selections were made for the draft, they were both made by Franco Harris the last couple of years. So I think to honor Franco Harris Saturday night. There will be a touchdown pass thrown by Kenny Pickett to Pat Freiermuth at some point. I think Steelers win fucking big, big over the Raiders. And then we all go Merry Christmas. The last time there was a game on Christmas Eve for Pittsburgh, it was for the division title. It was against Baltimore, and it's the one where Antonio Brown, with no time left on the clock, reached the ball over the goal line, and the Steelers won on Christmas Eve. So I with everything going on, man, with Franco and all that, there ain't no way they're losing this game.
And like I said, the Raiders is a divorce happening in the off season, man. Their car's not going to be there. There's still question marks about with me and a lot of media members, man. With the coach, you know what I'm saying? He's probably going to be spared a Black Monday coming in the off season. But like next year, man, if he's there, I'll be shocked. You know what I mean? That team's going to look uniquely different. And again, they've been seesawing wins themselves, man. So, emotions will run high this weekend in Pittsburgh. And I can't knock what you picked there.
Yeah. Looking around, Dolphins, Bills, John. Dolphins hung in there. 29-32 loss to the Buffalo Bills. Dolphins now are on the edge, it seems, for making the playoffs. They're still a great team, but they're right there on the edge with that key loss there against Buffalo. We'll see what happens there with them going into this next week. I believe Miami, they're home on Christmas Day against the Packers. I think the Packers, that's another team. They got a big win, John. I think Aaron Rodgers and the Packers sneak in. They've got the Dolphins at home. Are in Miami, and then they're home against the Vikings, and they're home against the Lions. You win those three, they're in. They control their own destiny.
They played Baker Mayfield. Everybody's got tape on Baker Mayfield.
John, they control their own destiny now.
Man, Aaron Rodgers still out here hating on his receivers too, though, man. If my receivers want to catch more touchdowns, they better run the right route. Man, dude, don't you – man, this dude act like he's perfect, man. But
don't we all?
I don't necessarily like their chances of making the playoff run at all, man. I don't, man. Who do they play next? You said
the
Miami,
Dolphins.
And then after that,
Packers, Dolphins, and then they play Dolphins, Vikings, and Lions. Two of the three are at home.
Dude, all them teams, like the Lions, I like the Lions. It's been a good story, man. You know what I'm saying? Dan Campbell, he'll get some Coach of the Year mentions, maybe. You know what I'm saying? They'll float it out. He probably won't get it, but, like, you know, I don't know. That's a tough road. And Minnesota, like, man, Minnesota ain't no slouch, dude. They're not going to Green Bay punk them again. So, or this year. I think Minnesota actually beat them already, so I don't know, man. I ain't buying what the Green Bay Packers are selling. Sorry, man. The cheese is molded this year.
Eagles beat the Bears 25-20. Eagles move to 13-1. John, Jalen Hurts could be out for a couple weeks.
Yeah. I kind of thought, man, a couple weeks ago, man, that when they were playing like blowout games, that I was like, when we gonna start seeing Gardner Minshew?
Right.
Or any other backup, rather. You know, and like they, you know what I'm saying? Sirianni just had him out there. Again, man, you know, I know we're playing a stack game between him and Patrick Mahomes, man, but Patrick Mahomes is going to always have more touchdowns, man. The best thing Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles can do to help him in his campaign with the MVP is to keep their one-loss record and him 100%. So he's got a sore shoulder, man. Gardner Minshew is probably going to, you know what I'm saying, play a majority of this game coming up. You got to tip your hat to them. Getting the victory over Chicago. Chicago, still trying to fight, man. Chicago ain't here to lay down, man, you know. But Chicago needs more weapons. Chicago needs help on the offensive line. Chicago needs help on the defensive line. Chicago needs more wide-out weapons, man, for Jalen Hurts. For Justin Fields, man. But Chicago is probably going to rectify a whole lot of that coming in the offseason. But right now, the Philadelphia Eagles are still – I still got them as the number one team in the NFL.
Yeah, so do I. Looking at their opponents this week, John, Cowboys took one on the road and lost to the Jaguars in weird fashion in overtime, 40-34. So what Dallas Cowboys team, man? That's why we can't trust them.
Pissed down their leg. Pissed down their leg. It was a big-time moment in a big-time game. You must be sure the Dallas Cowboys are not going to show up, man. So they gave a whole lot of life and a whole lot of hope in Jacksonville, which was kind of crazy, man. Urban Meyer almost ruined Sunshine's career. But we'll talk about that a little bit later, man. But, like, nah, man. Dallas kind of controls their own destiny. We know this, man. I still think they're top three teams in the NFC, and they'll still be there, you know what I'm saying, even with the jitters, to have to go to, like, Tampa Bay, potentially play a playoff game, I still think they still win the weekend and entertain. They'll make a run. They're not going to collapse. They'll make a run.
Gotcha. Bengals put on a second-half blitz of Tom Brady, and the Buccaneers beat them 34-23. I mean, the Bucs are still winning the division, but is this a swan song for Brady? Does he pack up and head out west or something? Man, this is crazy how the Bucs are playing.
Man, you got to pack up and figure out what's going on with his wife, right? But, like, no, man.
Well, Bengals are getting hot, man. They're getting hot, like I said.
Yeah, Bengals are getting hot, starting to run through people like hot nuts through butter, man. And away you go, man. Again, man, a lot of people still will debate me, you know, saying that Kansas City is better. And I said, man, Kansas City's got to struggle the last 2 weeks with non-playoff teams. So how can Kansas City be better? People will say, well, what about Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills? Do you trust their running game that they have? Do you trust Josh Allen sometimes? You know what I'm saying? In a big-time game. So I'm like, no, man, I got Cincinnati, like I said, getting to the AFC Championship game. No surprise.
What kind of tomfoolery was going on in that line, or in the Giants-Commanders game, with some blatant officiating that was just piss poor? Oh, my God, John. First the lining up where the referee says you're good, while he's saying he's good with one hand, he's getting the flag ready. Come on, man. And then the pass interference that was clear as day. Commanders got screwed. Can't do Ron Rivera like that.
Well, Dan Snyder ain't going to say nothing, man, because he knows they got other – he got bigger fish to fry. He got other problems, man. So, I don't know, man. There's that is terrible, Brandon. They're who refereed that game? Who umpired that game?
I don't know. Hopefully they're not going to Pittsburgh. Hopefully they're not going to Pittsburgh this weekend. So,
right.
Just crazy. Chargers continue to win 8-6. They knocked off the Titans. I told you I like their schedule. Going out the rest of the way, 8-6, they're second there. They're in the playoff hunt. They're right now a sixth seed. Their schedule looks very, very favorable. They've got the Colts Monday Night Football coming up, and then they're home against the Rams and at the Broncos. That should be three dubs. That puts them 11-6. I don't see a reason why these. I think these guys. That's our five seed right there. Yeah, I think that's easily our five seed. Baltimore will slip up. You know, is Lamar Jackson healthy? Is he not healthy? You're going to – a lot of QB issues as we're getting close to the playoffs. And it's a matter of who can get healthy quicker and who can return to form. And
Right. I think Baltimore, I mean, can you write them off? As far as the regular season is concerned, I mean, they're gonna be limping in. They're gonna be limping in.
They're 9-5. I don't think you can write them off.
They got no juice though, man. Can anybody believe in them? Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, the AFC Championship game. Like, I have better. I think if Baltimore had to play in Kansas City, even in Kansas City, they lose. Even with Kansas City playing as miserable, I mean, as bad as they are, they lose. If anybody in this playoff picture is a fraud, they're gonna get mad at me, Brandon, down in Miami.
You're using a fraud word on them now.
It would be the Dolphins, just because Miami is here for the first time. Now, guess what? there's a lot of people patting themselves on the back this weekend because Miami didn't lay down against Buffalo in a 32-29 game that was like a daggone blizzard game, right? Nobody
right.
Was like,
right.
Lost. You didn't win. You didn't win. You went up against an elite. Like, again, man, you got to win those games. If you want to be considered like, hey, this is the team going to the Super Bowl, you got to go from the road and handle your – I'm glad they kept pace with Buffalo, but you didn't win. So, again, man, if anybody in this playoff picture as far as the NFC is concerned, it would be Miami. I would consider them a fraud. Again, it's a gentleman fraud, not a fraud. Like, they don't deserve to be here.
Right. Baltimore 9-5. They're two games up on the 8th and 9th place teams. 7 get in, obviously. They're two games up on New England and the Jets. I still take Baltimore mm-hmm. over New England or even the Jets. Jacksonville's 6-8, so they're up three games on them. Mm-hmm. I think they've done enough that they're already going to get in, and their schedule doesn't look as bad finishing out. Just get Lamar healthy and get ready for your game, because you're most likely going to take on either Jacksonville or Tennessee, whoever wins that division. And I can easily see them winning that 4-5 matchup.
Okay. So, I mean, a lot of teams, you know what I'm saying, with a lot of dreams.
Yeah.
A lot of dreams. But like I said, I think – I really do like – again, man, I pick on Kansas City. They do – They find ways to win games with their offense. Like, again, Patty Mahomes is their best player. I don't consider them a fraud, even though they struggle. Like, again, they find ways to beat teams. But, man, again, like some of these teams, like if you ain't complete, like I don't have the numbers in front of right now. Like I'm saying, Cincinnati seems like the most complete team right now. Special teams is playing better. Joe Burrow has shaken off the rust of the appendectomy that he had to go through this year, and their defense is playing heavy. So, I kind of like the Bengals. Like I said, winning the AFC. I had them going to the championship. Now I got to win. Damn.
Oh, okay. In the AFC, it's Buffalo, Kansas City, Cincinnati, and then Tennessee, Baltimore, Chargers, and Dolphins. NFC right now, you got Eagles, Vikings, the surging hot 49ers, then Tampa Bay, Dallas, Giants, and Washington. So half game back is Seattle and Detroit. Both of them are half game back.
Yeah, water, reality kind of met up with Daniel Smith and the quarterback play in Seattle, right? I think at some point, though, I do like what I've seen out of San Francisco and them being a resilient football team. Too, they've lost how many quarterbacks have they gone through?
Oof.
You know what I'm saying? And they keep on winning. So, but at some point, man, they like, dude, you asking Brett Purdy to gunsling it out with some of the elite quarterbacks? You know what I mean? I mean, I guess it has some range to be seen if he got some Willie Beeman in it or not. You know what I'm saying? Willie Beeman from any given Sunday, but I don't know. They clinched their division. You like that if you're a San Francisco 49er fan? And like I said, man, Brett Purdy has been playing like a red hot firecracker, man. Not turning the ball over, and again, defense. Like I said, defense. But like, dude, I can't take that. Like,
here's the thing, John.
Go ahead.
Brock Purdy, and can he sling it against these quarterbacks? Well, I mean, he's got to get through the NFC first, and I think it can easily happen. You got a Philadelphia squad who Jalen Hurts. Okay, what kind of Jalen Hurts are you going to get by the time that these teams would play each other? If Jalen Hurts mm-hmm. would even be back, saying he doesn't get hurt again, God forbid. But Brock Purdy versus Kirk Cousins, that doesn't scare me. Brock Purdy versus a 6-8 Tom Brady in the Bucs, I mean, it doesn't scare me, but I mean, because the way the Bucs is, I'm not going to count out Tom Brady, but it doesn't scare me with the way the rest of that team plays.
Okay.
Dallas, right. I mean, you just saw what happened with them against Trevor Lawrence. So I think Brock Purdy could easily do contain with that squad, especially with the run game and the passing game you got. Get Debo back, and I think the 49ers would be okay with that. The Giants, I have no problem with Purdy there against Daniel Jones. And then Washington, Heineke against Jones. Or a Heineke against Purdy. I have no problem there. That's your playoff teams. I've got Purdy who can compete with at least five of the six other opponents.
Oh, man. He's the third. Come on, man. You gotta stop hating on Daniel Jones. You gotta stop hating on Daniel Jones, man. He turned in, dude. Daniel Jones gonna get paid this year.
I can't hear you, John. You put your mic closer.
Daniel Jones is gonna get paid in the off season. You gotta stop hating on Daniel Jones' abilities, dude.
He ain't gonna get paid by the Giants. Well, sort of. It sounds like you're underwater.
Do you think? Hold on, I'm sorry. You don't think Daniel Jones is gonna get a contract from the Giants?
No.
Man, I think he's a Giant.
Not the contract that he's wanting. I think he can get a contract. I don't think he's gonna want.
Could it be something like a franchise tag? Absolutely. Could it be something short term? Absolutely. Because you know, they're not long term dating. But like again, Daniel Jones is as good as anybody that they would pick right now where they would have to pick at. You know,
can't you see? I can see the Giants going after Jimmy Garoppolo. He'll be a free agent.
Man, is he going to be in one piece?
I mean, here's the thing. You can hope he is. You got a backup. But you can spend money on other positions, and you don't have to worry about paying Daniel Jones what he thinks he should earn. And, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo is getting paid $7 million this year, right? So why can't you pay him, hey, we'll pay you $9 million. You're coming off an injury. You know, we'll pay you $10 million. It's better than paying $18 million, $19 million, $20 million that you might have to pay to a Daniel Jones contract. That's just my opinion on it. I think you go right now, the market value for a quarterback is $34.9 million. That's market value. Four years, $139 mil is the market value. And that's for a QB11 rank. So, and right now he's playing as a quarterback 26. So, Garoppolo, I think you can get him on the cheap. You could go out and get yourself a Jacoby Brissett as well. He's serviceable, right? I mean, he kept Cleveland afloat.
They can't go backwards, though. Like, Daniel Jones, Jacoby Brissett, you telling your team, like, dude, we won games with Daniel Jones. Now Jacoby, we're trying to bring on Jacoby Brissett. And I'm going by the record, not necessarily by the QBR, right? Jacoby Brissett is not going to be in Cleveland next year. He might be backing up. I'll be backing up with whoever's the coach quarterback.
I thought you'd say you'd be back here at Indianapolis.
That's what I'm saying. He might be backing up. He might be back here, man. So, I don't know. I think
Ursay's dumb enough to do it.
I think Daniel Jones gets another run back in New York, but that remains to be seen.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing Jonathan's mock draft for the NFL once we get the season over. First mocks out there. Right now they got the Colts taking Will Levis at 6. You okay with that?
Okay.
He can throw the ball.
Will Levis. Man. That's the kid from Kentucky?
Yeah.
He just recently got on my radar, right? As far as, I mean, he's been on the radar since for a while, right? Yeah. Pro quarterback? Oh, man. We're going to have to real see, man. We can't throw names out there just because we need it.
Well, that's how you got in trouble to get. That's why you got Nick Foles starting this weekend. So we'll see. Anything else I have NFL wise? No, on my top five this week, John, I had the Eagles at 1, Bills at 2, Chiefs at 3, 49ers at 4, and Bengals at 5. Vikings fell out after that escape of a victory. Cowboys fell out after that loss. So,
it's simply so.
I mean, yeah, the Cowboys, they lost a close one, and you could say the Vikings won. I have Minnesota fans getting on my ass because I dropped them out of the top five. Dude, it took a miracle for them to win that game against the Colts, you know?
Right, a miracle of a meltdown, right.
Yeah. So that's why I'm like, well, I don't really have a concern with dropping them in the thing. And the 49ers have played better. They're 10-4. The Bengals have played better. The Bengals are maybe one of the hottest teams in the NFL right now, besides Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And this is the exact same path trajectory that they did last year when they went to the Super Bowl. So We'll see. Boy, I had those fan bases on my ass this weekend. I was not ready. So, all right, John, if you want to go ahead, we'll get to our next segment here. I think our guest is ready. I'll have you do our intro.
Absolutely, man. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, please give us your round of applause, man, for the newly crowned United Wrestling Network Heavyweight Champion. Ladies and gentlemen, and returning guest on Crossroads Sports Show, Danny Limelight. Man, welcome to the show.
What's up, Danny?
Gente, what's going on, baby? How y'all doing?
Good. You? You're doing all right.
You know me. Man, I'm good. I'm chilling, man. I'm out here in beautiful L.A., you know. We out here vibing. What y'all up to today?
Oh,
man,
just
well, we
talking
can,
sports, getting ready for this snowstorm. We got a snowstorm coming tomorrow, Danny.
Oh, man. That don't sound like a place I want to be at right now.
No, you don't. You don't really.
How y'all been, Danny? Everything's been good?
Yeah, everything else has been good, man. But, Danny, I think the last time we talked, you and Poppy Esco, everybody doesn't know, were like World Tag Team Champions. And I think
that's a while back.
Yeah, it's been a while back, and I think that's when right when y'all had brought in Slice Boogie to do a little three man action. And I know you and Slice had went around, you know what I'm saying, a couple y'all hit Puerto Rico, y'all hit Atlanta, a couple other spots, man. So like, man, we want to talk about, you know what I'm saying, you win the heavyweight title, but like in between time, man, you've been busy, man. You got bigger, you hit the gym, you got bigger, a little bigger, right? But you've been, you know, so tell some of the spots you've been and like the places that you've seen in between since you've been gone, man.
Yeah, man. So I think the last time we talked, like you said, I was one half of the United Wrestling Network World Tag Team Champs with Papo Esco. Slice had just joined, and after that, that was when, right around the time when I started with New Japan, started rocking and rolling with New Japan, did my thing there, turned on Rocky, joined Team Filthy, been part of Team Filthy since, went over to AEW, did my thing at AEW, you know, made my Dynamite debut against Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers, you know, wrestled some of the best they had to offer, like John Moxley, Ray Phoenix, Konosuke Takeshita. Had some banger matches, tag matches with some of the best out there as well. You know, wrestled Brian Cage, Matt Sydal. Just, I can just list all the names. There's so many of them. Eddie Kingston. And then between all that, I was still doing my thing at United, building the Bodega up. Me and the Bodega was carrying the show on our backs, you know. Then my time with AEW came to an end. I went to MLW with Slice Boogie, who became the World Tag Team Champion. Went to Puerto Rico, became the IWA Tag Team Champion. Took those belts stateside. Took the MLW World Tag Titles around. We were still United Wrestling Network Tag Champs for like one more month. We had three different belts from three different companies. We were doing our thing. And then, I'm still wrestling at United, still wrestling for New Japan, you know, still doing what I had to do. Okay. And then now, you know, this last half of the year, 2022, I kind of went on a singles thing because Slice got injured. So I kind of went the singles route, still having the Bodega behind me. You know, but kind of letting us all do our own little things because we all are singles wrestlers by trade anyway. You feel me? So Papa was the PD champion, and I was grinding. You know, and currently now I'm the United Wrestling Network World Heavyweight Champion. I qualified to become a number one contender by winning the Golden Opportunity Tournament. You know, I beat Shane Hayes, Jack Vanning, Willie Mack, Tyler Bateman. I guess he's called Bateman now. You know, great competitors. I've wrestled some of the best since then. I've wrestled one-on-ones with Allen Angels, Baron Black, Shane Hayes again. You know, they were just lining them up for me, man, all while still doing my thing at New Japan as part of Team Filthy, you know. And then, you know, now I'm the World Heavyweight Champion. You know, I'm the WWE SoCal Champion. Now the number one contender for the FSW No Limits Championship. January 14th, my first title defense in Arizona at the Red Carpet Rumble versus Eddie Kingston. So they lining up the big boys, the final bosses are ready for me. My first defense.
Right.
I really just been hooking the jab. Like you said, I've been in the gym, weigh the heaviest I ever weighed. I'm 189 right now, bro. Just getting jacked up. And I just finished going for a Netflix show.
How's the acting going? I was going to ask if there
been
was any
going
more
good,
acting
man.
Going on.
Been working on projects, doing stunts, auditioning nonstop. You know, I just finished working on The Brother's Son, a Netflix show starring Michelle Yeoh. You know, my daughter, she just finished a film with Terrence Howard and Cuba Gooding Jr., back in March. So we've just been grinding out here.
Man, dripping gold and walking runways.
Yeah, red carpets and gold. That's why, like, you know, Texas championships, baby.
Danny, was that your first time competing in Puerto Rico?
That was my first time competing in Puerto Rico for IWA. A couple months prior to that, I had went to Puerto Rico for the first time for another company out in Puerto Rico, in Carolina, Puerto Rico.
Okay.
It was called the Espiritu Dojo. I went out there, had my first match in Puerto Rico ever, and then Fabio Vega brought me to IWA.
I did a little cheat sheet, man, because I heard you on somebody else's podcast show, man, and I don't care if you want to shout them out or not. It's all good, man. But tell me the difference between the reaction from fans, from you know, saying from their perspective, like from wrestling in Puerto Rico, and when the time you wrestled, in Mexico.
Well, shit, Mexico, they hate me, man. You know, I get pesos thrown at me, bro. I come out there with the Puerto Rican flag. I do my dance. They hate it.
Right.
And then Puerto Rico, they love Poppy. I mean, everywhere else, like, you know, it's that's what it is with me. You know, wherever I go, they're either going to love Poppy or they're going to hate Poppy. But either way, Poppy's going to get a reaction from them.
I got you. I got you, man. So I want to transition because there's no way we can just glaze over the fact that you are, like I said, United Network Wrestling Heavyweight Champion. And you defeated Jordan.
United Wrestling Network.
Thank you, man.
You don't mess it up ever again.
Ooh, don't
hey,
mess it up, baby.
Danny, everybody can't be one take kill like Danny Limelight.
Yeah,
everybody can't be one take like
Jake
that.
Over here, baby. Shoot from the head.
All right. But like, nah, man. So what was it like? You know, what I'm saying, winning the title in a place where you know, what I'm saying, people kind of already know you're familiar with. What was it like, you know what I'm saying, actually, I know 7 years ago you started, you know what I'm saying, with that particular company, and like now here you are.
Right.
It's world heavyweight champion.
For the majority of my career, everywhere I've been a heel. Actually, everywhere I've been up, you know, United Wrestling Network was my home company. I was a heel there my whole time. Until I turned face, you know, like it just happened, you know, I turned over the new leaf back in May. The crowd organically just pushed me that way. They wanted to see me win. I was fighting for the Heritage Championship. Got cheated out of it, and that's when the whole table turned. Tables turn, bridges burn, you live and learn. You feel me? And then being their homegrown talent and becoming the guy. I mean, I already was the face of the company. I don't think anybody could take that from me. I've been the face of the company for at least 2 years. I don't care what anybody says. I just never had the gold around my waist to prove it, you know? It was like that uncrowned king, you know what I'm saying? Finally winning the big one, man, my first shot at it. You know, when the tournament came out, when the original tournament for the world title came out, I wasn't even considered to be in the tournament. I wasn't even part of the tournament.
Right.
You know, I was just a workhorse, mid-card, tag team guy, you know, at the time. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but that was my role.
Right.
And I'm really good at it, you know, and I did my thing. And I think that it just got to the point where they realized that I'm undeniable, bro. Like, I have the charisma. I have the talent. I can wrestle any style. I can wrestle anybody. I can do tag team, faction, singles.
Yep.
Put a microphone in my hand. It's mic on, safety off. I'm liable to say whatever the fuck
See,
I want.
That's the thing.
It's authentic.
Microphone in your hand. I was hoping that at some point on Dark, AEW Dark or so, we would have you on the mic cutting some promos. You know, just to kind
you know,
of get
I had,
that,
I had
you know,
asked,
that personality.
I had asked a couple times, you know, and they was just, you know, they were like, not right now, not now, or no, you know. But I didn't complain about it. I didn't want to ask too much because I already felt like they were already giving me more than what I felt at the time that I deserved. I felt like they were giving me all these opportunities, you know. So I didn't want to complain or whine about it, you know. But I knew that if they would have gave me a microphone, I would have got way more over than I already was. You know, I was becoming very popular on their Elevation and Dark show.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Right.
There was
a
lot of great Twitter comments.
People loved it. And it wasn't until, I mean, I always had a microphone at United, but it was never a live mic. You know, and then the New Japan shows, I would always cut my promos in the back. Like, a lot, you know, after the match, we talk our shit. I'd always talk with Team Filthy.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until MLW handed me a microphone, a live mic in front of a crowd, where people was like, holy shit, this kid is capable of saying whatever and getting a reaction.
Yeah.
You know,
one
of my favorites growing up was The Rock. And the one thing I loved about watching The Rock was that when he had a microphone, he was capable of saying anything. He had all these catchphrases for all these occasions, you know? And not that I don't use the same catchphrase. I mean, I tailor it to myself, you know? Like, if I say mi gente, I know I'm going to get a reaction. You know, certain things that I do and I say and I call myself papi and, like it's all natural. It's all me. It comes out my mouth and it just gets the reaction that I want from the crowd, you know. And then I control them, man. I have them in the palm of my hand. Wherever I'm at, they put a microphone in my hand. I got the crowd eating.
Beautiful.
I really got to give the credit to MLW for that, for trusting me with the live mic. And then it kind of, from there, New Japan was kind of like giving him a live mic. And then, you know, United started giving me live mics. And then now everywhere I go, on the indies or whatever, they give me a mic when I come out.
Beautiful. That's perfect, man. Like I said, I was wishing it would. It happened there. It didn't, but I'm glad it's happened at these other promotions. And you're getting a chance to kind of show that side that people may not know and to get them to either hook you as a good guy or as a heel or a heel or a good guy. So. And I think, honestly, the last time that we talked, it's been so long, I think they were just coming out with the belt, the title, and they were going to have a tournament for it. I remember us talking, and you said, hey, you just want that shot, that chance to compete for the world title, and now it's kind of full circle that you are that champion, that you recently just won it. My question to you is, we've got the United Wrestling Network's Red Carpet Rumble, Saturday the 14th. At Bell Bank Park in Mesa, Arizona, which, I mean, it's a hell of a day because that's the day I'm getting married here in a couple of weeks. So, hell of a day. My question is, how did we decide a crumb bum like Eddie Kingston is getting a title shot for your title?
Listen, man, Eddie Kingston is a world-traveled professional wrestler. You know, somebody that I had a lot of respect for growing up, you know, in the business. You know, everybody always talk about Eddie Kingston, this Puerto Rican dude from New York. You know, that said what he wanted, did what he wanted. He was known for having these amazing matches. You know, so just, you know, I've been in the ring with him twice now. I know the type of guy he is. I know the type of wrestler he is. But see, this will be my first time one-on-one with him. It's my first defense. I know in his head it's an easy day of work for him. You know, that's what he's probably thinking. And I'm going to tell him straight up, you know, as a vet, Eddie, if you underestimated me, that's a rookie mistake. So I'm gonna see him. I'm gonna see him January 14th. Poppy's walking into Arizona to bring the heat. We're gonna get it popping.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with Eddie. I just don't want him to, you know. I think he's get in line, get behind some others up here. You know, I don't want him to, because you know he's gonna try to cheat you. He'll try to cheat you, get you referee points back.
I know how to cheat to win too. I know how to win ugly. I did that for years.
Uh-oh.
You know, that was my, that's how, you know what I'm saying, got to where I was at. Lying and cheating.
Right.
Uh-oh. You know,
uh-oh.
Like from the late great Eddie. Learn from the real great Eddie. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Danny, not that you're overlooking Eddie Kingston or anything like, so like, what is the outlook for Danny Limelight in 2023? Either on professional wrestling or in Hollywood as an actor,
I want to bring the United Wrestling Network World Heavyweight Championship all around. I want to defend it everywhere. I want to be a fighting champ. I want to fight the best of the best, no matter what company, what city, what country they're from. I don't care what planet they're from. You know, I don't care what color they are. Mm-hmm. As long as they breathe oxygen, bring their ass here, line them up for me. And all I want to do from there, man, you know, I want to become a household name. You know, I want to be on TV every week, whether that's with AEW. WWE, you know, they got Ring of Honor, you got Impact, New Japan. You know, maybe I can head over to Japan for a bit. You know, I'm going wherever the life takes me, you know what I'm saying? I got some ideas of where I want to land, but I'm going to just keep doing what I'm doing. I'm going to keep grinding, putting in the work, and eventually I'm going to be where I'm supposed to be, you know? And that's on everybody's TV with a microphone in my hand talking shit like only I could do.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Everybody's TV. Everybody's TV. But, hey, man, people can still check out the United. Correct me one more time. United Wrestling Network.
United
that's
Wrestling.
He got
to
slap
you.
You
hooked on phonics, B.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I need a fucking – better edit this shit to have the little word with the little Danny Limelight head bouncing over the word so he can read along and shit.
Oh, shit.
United Wrestling Network, World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, put some respect on his name, John, damn it. Hey, everybody, catch Danny Limelight, United Wrestling Network, Red Carpet Rumble, Saturday night, January 14th, if you're at the Bell Bank Park in Mesa, Arizona, or I'm sure it'll be streamed somewhere, right? You can buy it to watch.
It'll be airing on TV. It'll be on YouTube. It'll be all around. They'll get it up there. The word will go out all over Twitter. Make sure you're following me on Instagram and Twitter at Danny Limelight for all updates. Find out where I'm going to be at next. Me Hank, they go to prowrestlingtees.com/DannyLimelight. Get your T-shirts, merchandise, and make sure you stay tapped in because Poppy's going to do what he do.
Beautiful. Danny, thank you again. Best of luck. Not that you need it. And we'll get you back on sooner than later. We won't wait that long.
All right, guys. Appreciate it, me Hank. Take care.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
All right. John, he's going to slap you through the wall. You ain't getting that shit right.
Hold on. Danny Limelight just got to be 180. I've been 180 a long time, bro. He don't want no parts of this.
Oh, he said he could get you some hooked on phonics. And I love that part. Oh, yeah, for sure. Get this guy some hooked on phonics.
Pull that high heel. We have to use it.
Yeah. Great call with him, getting him on there. Like I said, last time we talked to him, that title was just starting to become, and they were getting a first tournament, and he was talking about wanting to get part of it. So it's good to see him win. Hey, you know, I had to get a plug on there about that crumb bum, Eddie Kingston.
Hey, man, don't be starting no heat with Eddie Kingston either, man.
Hey, man, I don't want our guy Dane Limelight get cheated out. So that's why I said I don't trust Eddie Kingston. So we want to bring Eddie on the show, bring his ass on the show as well.
Bring him too. Right.
Yeah. So great call, Danny Limelight. We'll get him back on again once John gets his hooked on phonics course completed. We'll get him back on the show.
Wrestling Network Heavyweight Champion.
The United Wrestling Network World Heavyweight Champion. So,
all right, take an ad, bro.
We're going to take a quick ad break. We come back. Tanner will be joining us, and we got to get our college football in, folks. We got to get the Bulls in, so we'll be back.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We also want to thank our sponsor, Maverick Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created, dreams are born, specializing in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks, offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, maverickcustommotorsports.com. Like I said, they ship worldwide. Custom motorcycle builds, custom audio accessory installs, LED lighting, custom wheels. They carry all the top brands and more. Check them out today. Give them a call, 833-SHOP-MAV. That's 833-SHOP-MAV. Or check them out, maverickcustommotorsports.com. If you order online, use the promo code CROSSROADS at checkout for an exclusive discount. Christmas time's coming up in a couple days. You only got a couple things left. Don't forget. Get your stuff. Get your Christmas shopping in. If you need to get something, reach out to Custom Maverick Custom Motorsports. Let them know that we sent you.
Crossroads Sports would like to thank Wiseman Logistics. Their team is dedicated to the successful delivery of your packages. Services, domestic or commercial, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Call 877-744-6212 to set up your delivery. Thanks, Wiseman.
All right. Thank you to all three of our sponsors there. John kind of looking things before we get Tanner on. Indy Hoops Classic. Indy Classic we had. Purdue and Ball State were both there. Boilermakers pull out a 7-point win over Davidson, a pesky Davidson team. Ball State had a very nice win. What was your thoughts on the Indy Classic this year away from the Crossroads?
It didn't necessarily feel like the Crossroads because, like, Crossroads kind of correct me wrong, was all Indiana schools, right? Or I thought it was. But, like, no, man, the Indy, it didn't really miss a beat to me. It was a little different seeing, like, you know, non-Indiana schools there and, like, even, you know what I'm saying, even we were texting some of our other media partners across the way because they were at the Butler game, man. So it kind of felt like, well, why ain't Butler here? You know what I'm saying? Is Butler running? I mean, and I know Butler played UConn and they got the ass whooped, but it felt like Butler should have been at this event. You know what I'm saying? Playing one of these two teams. Not that Davidson wasn't good enough or good to hang with Purdue. They were. They made it ugly. I thought they were, as we walked, you know what I'm saying, the sideline and that, right? I thought that, you know what I'm saying, Davidson wouldn't have a big bang with Purdue because I didn't think they were big enough. I didn't think they were taller. The taller dude on Davidson is 6'10", and I feel like Purdue got, you know what I'm saying, 6'10 plus 80, you know what I'm saying, on their front line. Purdue, like, you know what I'm saying, they 6'7 is a real 6'7. It's not a joke, you know what I mean? But, like, you know, just kind of talk about Ball State a little bit, too, and then Illinois State. Illinois State, I think, you can't call them pesky. I'm going to say I think they have an identity. But they are athletic enough to keep up with, you know what I'm saying, and make it – it was a little ugly at first in the first half of the game. And then Ball State just kind of, you know what I'm saying, relied on the crowd, which the crowd was – ooh, Brandon, the crowd, the Ball State crowd, y'all got to show up, Ball State alumni. Y'all got to show up and in hell. Mike Lewis, man, he's, you know, hey, man, that's a good guy to have, Ball State alumni. Me and Brandon Reeve are Ball State alumni, and Scott K. Nichols, who you know what I'm saying, who bankrolls, you know what I'm saying, some of the ads around here. Hey, this is the holiday show, y'all. Bankrolls some of the ads around here. He's a Ball State alumni. Hey, Peyton Stovall, who's also come on the show, man, hey, they said, yo, come, hey, alumni need to come down there. And then I'm saying, The more people start funneling in, Ball State kind of fed off the crowd. But like the first half, they wasn't there, y'all. They wasn't. They need. I mean, and this is a team that kind of needs your support. They got good coaching. Mike Lewis has got them playing. Like Brandon is like picking on a guy. He's like Bumgarner. He needs to go. All right, like Bumgarner is a play two kind of guy now. He's a holdover from the last era, and like he's struggling with his shooting. He said, I mean, I know I messed up his name, but. What's his real name, Brandon? Luke.
I don't know his name. You picked on him.
And saying like he was 2 for 100 or something like that for 3, which he is. That's real numbers. But like they keep on playing him because there's no depth on Ball State's bench, right? They starting five is the best five they got out there. Again, win the MAC. If they can win the MAC with that starting five, man, Mike Lewis would be head coach of he'll be the head coach of the year in the MAC. I just don't necessarily think Ball State's got the depth. They got some really good starters, right? You know what I'm saying? And Peyton Sparks and Coleman. You know what I'm saying? But, like, the depth on the bench is not there. Again, man, great game that they played against Illinois State. They came out with a victory. The Purdue game, Brandon, did it not sound like a Pacer game? The level of fan engagement. And I ain't just talking about, like, the thunder that they – and the production that Purdue puts into, like, they – you know what I'm saying? They, you know what I mean? Like, the players are coming out, announcing and whatnot. I'm just talking about, like, the people were there. No wonder Purdue wants this game. Purdue ain't gonna never. Like, this is a home. This is like a home game for them at Cambridge. You know what I'm saying? Because the fan engagement, man. So, like, you know, when Davidson got real pesky and start, you know what I'm saying, making plays, making the more the hustle plays, I think, I mean, if anybody – if you look at it, I don't have the stats in front of me. Shame on me, Brandon. I took the stats there. And say, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, me and Brandon are probably going to start broadcast if they allow us. We'll do some color commentary. We can't video it, but we did a great commentary that we probably should have recorded when we were at the game, man, because Davidson kind of showed up and got, like I said, got pissed and got after it and made it messy for Purdue in the second half, man. But ultimately, Purdue has got – ultimately, Purdue's, you know what I'm saying, big boy and outmuscle them, you know what I'm saying, Zach Edey. Is it pretty? Does it look like 1955 Bill Russell kind of basketball sometimes? Yeah, but it's effective and it's winning. If they get consistent enough third play from Drumroll first, you know what I'm saying, you called it, bro. He's like, dude, if first gets in there and starts, like, it seemed like he was playing timid in the first half, and then a switch went on. A light switch went on. Coach told him, hey, man, you might have to get a rebound if you want to get some points. The ball just ain't going to float in your hand. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like one of those kind of conversations. And then he got after it. And they had – you got to get more than Zach Edey out there because, like, a double's coming. Davidson tripled him. And, like, you know what I'm saying, even before he had the ball. So teams are going to pick up on that. And, you know what I'm saying, him in a double team is not necessarily – you want him passing out a double team and ready for a shooter to shoot. right? And right now, I don't know, Brandon. I know you said you think it's a better team without Ivy. I can't necessarily agree with that, you know what I'm saying, line of thinking. But this is a solid team, and they do play very well, great basketball together. And it's very, like, workmanship. Let me put my, you know what I'm saying, hard hat on. But, like, man, you know what I'm saying, because they can't lose that kind of game. But, you know what I'm saying, against the pesky Davidson. But, hey, the number one team, they are in the nation, the Purdue Boilermakers. There you go. The floor is yours.
Okay. We've got our guy on. It's time for Pick 'em. John, we'll bring our guy on here momentarily.
You know,
I've got a new intro for him. A new intro. I always end up changing it up. So I've got this one for him now.
Oh, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, our boy, Pick 'em. He's currently the leader after week one of the bowl series. Tanner Penrod.
Hey. What's happening?
Tanner Penrod.
This was the old WrestleMania theme, John. Old WrestleMania theme.
You could just went with it, Brandon. But yeah, go ahead, man.
WrestleMania.
I had to get him.
WrestleMania.
Tanner, welcome back, my guy. How you been? You been good?
I've been good. Just sitting here watching a little North Carolina, Michigan at the moment.
They getting worked by Michigan? I haven't seen a score.
No, it's tied. We might as well be in the Big Ten because we played that whole damn conference probably better than Purdue will this year. So I'm pissed, pound sand.
Stop.
Oh, my.
I know you don't believe any of that.
Boys.
So as of the games that we've had 12 games so far, the 13th one's tonight, so we made our picks already for that. 12 games in. Tanner, you are 9-3. I'm 8-4, and John is 7-5. So we've got respectable scores so far. Eastern with the outright win yesterday, which was huge. Toledo won, fellas, but they didn't cover for us. They went 1-2. That one hurt us quite a bit. UConn hurt me, damn it. I thought UConn was going to be able to hang in there. That was not the case.
They put on a little. They came back. I thought they were going to backdoor cover.
They did. I actually took them at 12.5 day of. But that ended up covering with that. So tonight I switched on my pick, boys. You guys kept with South Alabama. Western Kentucky's got their quarterback back tonight. He decided he's going to play now. So with that, I said, shit, give me the four in Western Kentucky.
Hell?
Yeah, had to switch. Well, I haven't learned my lesson, obviously, right, from the last time we had something like this. So, gentlemen, let's dive right in. Bowl game starting tomorrow. Armed Forces Bowl, Baylor -5.5 versus Air Force. John, we'll let you start it.
There's no way in God's earth Air Force could beat Baylor's third string. I'm not disrespecting military. I'm just disrespecting
you are.
Air Force football play. No, I'm not. I'm telling the truth.
If that's not disrespect.
Their third team couldn't beat Air Force. Air Force could beat their third team, man. Give me Baylor.
That's a quick little hitter.
Yeah, what? He's going to be changing his tune here shortly.
Just for that, I'm taking Air Force.
Go for it. They're not winning.
I'm taking Air Force as well. I'm for the troops. It's the Armed Forces Bowl. For the troops, it's in Fort Worth. Hey, John, kickoff, that little Baylor squad, I know they don't like cold weather. It's going to be 22 degrees and winds at 40 miles an hour. Air Force's triple option is going to run all over that ass. I'm taking Air Force.
Me too.
If any of these dudes are going to be pros, they better show up. They'll show up. They can't have no bad tape. Y'all know that. You know that, right? They can't have no – they're not allowed to have bad tape. Baylor, this ain't Air Force. Air Force, The guy's going to the guy playing in the Air Force, no disrespect. There ain't a David Robinson above him.
That's okay? All I'm hearing, right, disrespect.
So I'm just saying, man. Oh, no, you're not listening. Who am I disrespecting? I'm not disrespecting the Air Force. I'm disrespecting Baylor. If they lose, it's just a loss of Jonathan Birdsong's record. Pick 'em. If they lose, they got a lot of bad tape, and ain't nobody from Baylor going to be drafted. So who am I really disrespecting? They better win. I'm still sticking with Baylor. I ain't switching. I ain't the switcher here. The switcher is Brandon Reed.
But I didn't switch on this pick. I stayed with my pick. I just think with the cold weather and the winds, shit, this triple option is going to destroy them.
They better not show up no bad tape. Not no scout. Better not be there.
All right, boys, the Independence Bowl, University of Louisiana Lafayette versus Houston. Houston, 7-point favorites in this one. Dana Holgorsen squad, what says you, Tanner?
I'm gonna go Louisiana Lafayette. Just because I like a little underdog, and Houston is 1-7 as a favorite against the spread this season. So give me the underdog. Louisiana 14-7 against the spread the last 5 years as an underdog, so I'll just go on that route.
Okay. I'm going to take what?
Go ahead. Let me ask my question, Tanner. Tanner, you think it's going to be a high-scoring game? Like 26-32? You think it could be something like that?
I mean, the over-under 58. The over-under 58.
Right. Brent, I watched this Houston team early in the season. And I know what these little teams like Louisiana, I can't even pronounce the daggone. You know what I mean? I know what they're capable of.
Yeah, all you really need to know is it's the Raging Cajuns, baby, and that's what you got to roll
right
with.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what do you think? Brandon, you too. What do you think, like what kind of score you think you're going to see this kind of, I mean, anybody who want to watch entertaining football, I'm saying watch this game. Like, what kind of, like, the numbers would you say?
Well, I was thinking over myself in this game, but I also was thinking over on that Troy and UTSA, and that ended up being a, what, no more than 18 points scored? You know?
I mean, Brandon, them dudes are thumpers. Troy is a bunch of thumpers, man. That's why they wanted him for Purdue. They wanted that coach for Purdue because he's like that type of football, dude. Like, he like that shit. Sorry.
Yeah.
He like that, you know, 12. You know what I mean?
Sorry.
But, like, this game right here is going to be, you know, like 27, you know what I mean, 29. That's what it's going to be.
Here's your stat. I just found it. Here you go, Jonathan. Houston's 9-2-1 to the over this year, the highest over percentage of the FBS.
There you go.
So if you're going to want to bet the over, there's your stat.
Right. That's where I was thinking. Well, go ahead, Brandon.
I'm going to take ULL plus the 7.
Oh, wow.
As you said, Tanner, about Houston and the bowl games, or Houston and covering, I also went up and looked at Dana Holgorsen in his last 9 bowl games. His teams have only covered 2 of the 9 in the bowl games. In his presser, he also mentioned his focus right now is on the portal. And that December 17th recruiting weekend.
Boy.
So, and it was not Louisiana who was his focus. So, with that being said, I'm taking ULL.
Who's the head coach of Houston again?
Dana Holgorsen.
Dana. Yeah.
And quit eating during the Pick'em show. I can hear you eating.
I'm sorry, man.
What is a fucking world-class show?
That's what I'm talking about.
Jesus.
Have some respect for the show.
Oh, shit. Have some fucking respect.
If you're not going to have it, if you're not going to have it for the military.
he's definitely against the troops. That will be known for good.
I never disrespected the military.
You have respected the military. You said they suck.
It's Baylor. If Baylor's third string is about anything, they'll be Air Force.
But so you're saying that if the guys suck, nobody's going to get drafted.
I never said it's from the Air Force?
No. You said that the Air Force is so bad that if Baylor gets beat by Air Force, that none of those guys should ever get drafted.
Yeah, I heard. I'll vouch that.
Thank you.
Don't touch him.
Hey, it's okay. You are against the troops. That's fine. There's certain people like that.
Put them in the USL. Put them in
USL. Hey, you and Dan Dockich, you guys can be against the troops and all that. That's fine.
Don't ever put that parallel out there like that either, though, man. But I'm going with Houston on this game.
Okay, he's taking Houston. Tanner, I knew there was a reason why John wasn't a big July 4th holiday weekend guy. So, I mean, it shows it now. So, I had to get, you should have seen me try to get him to stand for the anthem this weekend at Gainbridge. It's like pulling teeth. He wasn't even there for the anthem. He was down in the media room watching the Colts get blasted.
Oh, I thought you were going to be down there getting drink down there at the bottom getting drinks and said, I don't blame you then.
we're at two bowl games. We're off the rails already. I love it. All right, the next bowl, the Gasparilla Bowl, Wake Forest minus one versus Missouri, or some people from Missouri call it Missouri.
Or Mizzou.
With my pick here, they did my boy wrong. They got rid of my guy, Konzo Martin, on the basketball squad.
Mm-hmm.
Wake Forest has played well. I've taken them quite a bit this year on a lot of my bets, and it's pulled through. Give me Wake minus the one. It's only one. Give me the one. Wake Forest.
I like that quarterback.
Quarterback
for Wake Forest, man.
I think his name's Hartman or something. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he puts up big numbers, man. He also takes big hits, crazy like that, man. But he puts up big numbers, man. What's the spread again, Brandon?
The spread is one. Wake Forest hasn't covered four of the last five games.
Sense. Nah, man. Missouri's probably Missouri on the defensive end is probably a little bit bigger than him, man. I'm not saying he ain't gonna be able to get. That's why I said it out there, man. Like this dude's like taking hits. But, like, ultimately, you can't take that many hits, man. I don't know if he's going to have the time and protection to do what he does best. This dude can throw the ball. Well, Hartman can throw the ball. He really can. Like, I can see that somebody, not the coach, but I can see somebody who likes a team likes to throw it around a lot, taking him in the second round of the NFL draft next year. Even with him having, I think he's also got, like, I think he's also got, like, heart problems. So that's Matt Duggan. I'm confusing my quarterback now. But like he's been injured, often injured. Anyway, point being, man, I'm gonna have to take Missouri has played a little bit better in SEC play this year, man. With me, they have played a little bit better, man. I don't think there's no fallback with that. I think they go into the game, wanting to win. And going into next year, believing that they can compete for the top, at least the top four piece of an SEC crown. So give me Missouri.
Okay. Tanner?
I'm going to go with him just in that. Missouri played well against these opponents. They covered a lot for me. I took them this year. So just with that and the higher level of opponents they played against probably compared to the ACC, that alone, that's why I'm just going to take Missouri today. So, give them Missouri this week.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. One of my favorite bowls, the Hawaii Bowl, Honolulu, Hawaii, on Christmas Eve. Won't be watching it this year. I'll be watching the Steelers. But Middle Tennessee State versus San Diego State, the Battle of the States. San Diego State is the favorites by 7. Tanner, what do you like?
I'm just going to shoot it straight, keep us on the thing. I'm going to go Middle Tennessee, even though I'm going to go against your boy, old Brady Hoke. I like Middle Tennessee catching 7. I think San Diego State struggled towards the end of the season. So, I'm just going to go that route, even though Middle Tennessee struggled against the spread this year with a winning record. They're 0-3, actually. Against the spread with a team with a winning record, I'm just going to still go that route. Give me Middle Tennessee.
Okay. I am going to take San Diego State here. I'm going to take Brady Hoke. Chirp, chirp. Brady Hoke and the Aztecs, they won in this stadium against Hawaii last year. So they've been there. They've made that trek across for this game. Also, the last time that Stock still played in this bowl, 2016, for Middle Tennessee State, they were beaten 52-35. San Diego State's got a great pass coverage.
Wow.
Against Middle Tennessee State's offense. But passing, give me San Diego State in this one. I think Middle Tennessee could come and do a repeat of what they did in the same exact bowl in 2016.
Got it. How do you focus? How do you focus in Hawaii on Christmas night to play football with anybody? That's what I'll say. I'm like, you know what I mean? Man, Middle Tennessee State, that's a long trip. That's like a real vacation. When you get there, man, yeah, again, I look at the psychological part of sports, man. I can't go against Brady Hoke, man. So I guess I'm going with San Diego State.
All right, so far we have not all been on the same page tonight like we have been, well, like we were last week. So the next one's the Quick Lane Bowl. We played on Monday the 26th, 2:30 in the afternoon, New Mexico State versus Bowling Green out of the MAC. Bowling Green, 3.5-point favorites. I'm just going to keep it simple. Psh, give me the MAC. Give me Bowling Green. MAC is the tag.
Right.
Jonathan.
Bowling Green's an all-weather team, man. They probably play better in miserable weather conditions than any team that's bowling right now. I don't necessarily know what the outlook is. It's probably not going to be miserable during that bowl game. But, yeah, man, Bowling Green, I don't even know why New Mexico stays in a bowl game, right?
But it's indoors, John. It's at Ford Field in Detroit.
Ooh. Yeah, still give me Bowling Green. I like them.
Tanner.
Let's see.
You might go to New Mexico.
I am. I'm gonna go to New Mexico State. I think they play well and they get a lot of rest. I'm gonna go that route. I just put the Bowling Green 0-3 as a favorite against the spread this year. So just on those couple things, I'm gonna go New Mexico State.
Okay. All right. The Camila Bowl. Georgia Southern, 3.5-point favorites versus the Buffalo Bulls from the MAC. Played in Montgomery, Alabama. So on Tuesday at noon, I am going to go against the MAC here. I'm taking Georgia Southern -3. I just like the way they've kind of played as of late. I know they've lost. They lost their previous three, but they just won a big one against App State, 51-48, right after Thanksgiving. They were underdogs. I think they carry that momentum, and I think they can cover that 3.5 over Buffalo.
Wow. They beat App State?
I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go with you too, Reef. I like Georgia Southern there. This might be one of my big key game thing that we did. So I like Georgia Southern. They've covered the last three games as a favorite. And the Buffaloes cover their last four games, so just on that alone, I'll pick Georgia Southern.
Okay.
I hate going against the MAC, man. But when you talk about, I do, man. When you go, you know, saying quality opponents, man. Buffalo. I don't think anybody Buffalo played. I don't think is as good as Appalachian State, and that's a gossip conference in itself. Georgia State doing that most of the game. Give me Georgia State.
Okay. Hold on.
What?
We disrespected the troops. We've disrespected Air Force. You've disrespected Georgia Southern by calling them Georgia State.
Dude, they're lucky we're talking about them on Crossroads Sports. How about that?
Hey, by the way, let me play. This has nothing to do with college football, but let me play this clip. I got to hear my boy. It's on Twitter. Apparently, the clown show known as Wally Zerbiak had an apology this evening.
Why did he apologize?
Something that I said about Tyrese Halliburton being a wonderful
all-star.
I want to apologize
first.
Oh, wow.
Tyrese Halliburton is a wonderful young
man.
Is that what we're doing now?
Say what? Man, I thought he got to apologize because he gave his opinion on Halliburton.
Yeah.
Is that
it wasn't warranted.
It wasn't
warranted.
I mean, he said something out of pocket.
I don't
even know what he said. I mean, what did he say that was totally out of pocket about Halliburton?
Call him a wannabe all-star, man. He ain't good enough.
Man, they be saying that kind of smack on TNT all the time. Chuck was
I know.
Yeah, I didn't really understand.
The problem is it's Wally Zerbiak, that's why. Not that it's right or wrong, but.
You and Jonathan's favorite ref. Reffing this Pacers-Celtics game tonight. I won't get in on him, but he'll probably throw a couple of calls. That piece of skin, I'll just leave it at that. Yeah.
Oh, man.
He'll probably
throw
a Pacers win.
Oh, boy. No, too much integrity there.
Deion Sanders and them just got another recruit. The number one cornerback has flipped from Miami to Colorado. So there's that.
Oh, wow.
Deion's getting his guys there.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, I won't even bring it up. Tanner went off last time I talked about him, so I'm not even going to bring
about
it up. Tyler Ford, because somebody, one of the Pacers analysts goes, Tyler Ford has done every single Pacers game this year. Well, maybe not all of them, but he's from Westfield, Indiana. Lives in Westfield, Indiana. Went to Ball State, Hey, he did throw out Draymond the other night. He was tired of listening
he
to
did.
It, Tanner.
And I told you, Draymond probably breathed on him, and he got tossed.
Oh, shoot. All right, back to it.
Yeah.
One of my favorites, one of my favorite Bulls, because of who it's for, unlike Jonathan, who hates the troops, the First Responders Bowl. I love my First Responders. They're great people. First Responders Bowl, Memphis -7 versus Utah State. This game is going to be played in the Gerald J. Ford Stadium in Dallas, Texas on Tuesday. For you, John, it looks like it's right now 52 degrees and clear for game day.
Like
Memphis -7 versus Utah State. What do you like?
Utah State.
I'll him, too. I like Utah State. They're just a couple things. They're 15-4 against the spread. When you over the last five seasons, when they've had more than 6 days against a rest, I like that. And they have a good cover percentage against non-conference games over the past 5 years too that I looked at. So, just that. Give me the points. Give me Utah State.
I'm taking them as well.
Country, let's ride.
All right, all three of us getting the points. The second one. Georgia Southern, we've all took, and then as well as Utah State. So we are on a little bit of a trend here with that, some would say. The next one, this one is near and dear to Tanner Penrod's heart. Bring the ponchos. We're going down to Birmingham Bowl. Coastal Carolina versus Eastern Carolina University.
Uh-oh.
East Carolina -8. Tanner, what do you like?
Oh, man. Another one of those games. It's going to be high scoring in the 20s, I think.
62 is the over-under.
Oh, 60. It started at 60, so it's gone up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. With some teams probably got some area premier day with one another. Could be a good game, but high scoring for sure.
I love taking underdogs. It's hard for me not to take them. So I'm going to go with the UB Coastal. Even though the only thing is they have a covered in their last three games, so it's going to be. But they're 8-2. They're 8-2 against the spread as an underdog in their last 10. So I'll take my chances with that. So hopefully they can right the ship. Give me Coastal.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Eastern Carolina minus the 8 here. Coastal's just not the Coastal that we thought they would be going into the
season.
Like
last year.
Like last year's squad where they were that dream season. I mean, they're 9-3. That's no slouch, but their quarterback's not playing. He entered the transfer portal, so he's gone.
What?
Grayson McCall, he gone. Backup guy going in here against ECU. ECU wants that bowl win. I think they covered this. Cake. Give me ECU.
You
well, word is Coastal Carolina and McCall wants to go to Florida.
He did say he's not playing in this game?
Yes, he is out, and he entered the transfer portal.
I might change this one later.
Let me know if we need to adjust. But for now,
quarterbacks are a big thing.
Oh, they are.
That's what happened.
Right.
You look what happened to Florida. Got dog walk. Me and Reese, P-Gate, they got smoked.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That was our mortal lock.
Kind of like the Celtics are right now against the Pacers. Their Pacers are up 32-13. There's your update.
Love it.
For the show.
Yep. 18-0 run after the timeout. John, what do you like?
Man, I like Eastern Carolina in this game just because of who's not playing and who isn't playing and whatnot. I'm kind of curious, man. Like, when you see talking about all these guys getting out of these, I mean, bowl games still mean something, obviously, because we're talking about it, right? Bowl games still mean something, hell. And, like, there's plenty of swag and NIL money pumping all through them, man. I don't know why guys are, you know what I'm saying, backing out of them. But, you know, I guess they figured graphics are here or somewhere else. So I'm just kind of curious, man. Are some of these guys going to end up in West Lafayette or Bloomington?
Yeah.
You can go ahead and switch me. I'm going to Eastern.
We talked him into it. He's ready to see you.
We talked him in. Right.
Yeah, I'm not even going to waste time.
I love it. I love it.
Country, let's ride.
All right, we're all riding on Eastern Carolina. The next one, guys, the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. Two teams who had very underwhelming performances this year, Oklahoma State versus Wisconsin. Wisconsin's 3.5-point favorites. With this one, I'm going to go with Wisconsin to cover the 3.5. I think Wisconsin wins the game. As part of my mortal lock for this week, I am going to take the under in this game. The under, it was starting out at 48. I did make a bet over the weekend in this game when it was high. It was at 48. It's down to 43 now. But I'm taking the under because there's no Graham Mertz and there's no Spencer Sanders. Both quarterbacks are out.
I thought that's what we were getting ready. I knew that Mertz dude transferred. He went in the portal. I didn't know if Sanders was still out or not.
Yeah, Sanders is out. So my mortal lock is the under in this game. Jonathan?
Man, what's the point spread? Give me one more time.
Wisconsin minus 3.5.
Do they really want to be here in this game?
No, neither one of them do.
Do I really?
And it's a late one, John. 10:15 at night on Tuesday.
A transition.
Yeah, it is. Well, all right, it's not Eastern. That game's in Arizona.
Yes.
I'm gonna go with Wisconsin. Well, I don't want to. But, because I'm a Big Ten homer. You know what I mean? That's the only reason why I'm going with.
That's all right.
I'm going to fade you guys, and I'm going to go Oklahoma State because they've covered their last 6 bowl games. They're going for lucky number 7 this time. So, be the longest active streak in bowls right now. So, 7 straight covers. So, give me the Cowboys.
Okay. Perfect. The next one we have, Jonathan, you're going to hate the bowl game. We got the Military Bowl, UCF versus Duke. Duke minus 3. You hate the military so much. We got the Military Bowl. So I'm going to take Duke minus the 3. I haven't been on UCF all year. I like Tulane over them so much. Give me Duke minus the 3 in the Military Bowl.
You can do and 3.
Right. I'll take UCF. I think we're going. I looked at that game earlier. UCF. I'll take UCF.
Okay.
Just because they're 5-0 against the spread under Gus Malzahn, when the line's between 3, plus 3, and minus 3. 4-0 this season. So just on that little tight tidbit in there, give me Gus. Give me the Knights.
All right. John?
I'm taking UCL.
Been the points. Taking it straight up. All right. All right. Understandable. Next bowl is the Liberty Bowl. Kansas, who's had a great season this year. They end up finishing 6-6. I think they started, 6-0 or 5-0, and then the kind of fucking wheels fell off for them for a bit. So, Kansas versus Arkansas minus 2.5. I think this is an easy call. I'm taking Arkansas minus 2.5. I think they just blitz Kansas.
Wow. I looked at that game earlier, too, and I'm with you on that. I think they just dog walk them. Yeah.
I don't know, man. Kansas might show up, man.
Fix your mic, John. You sound like you're underwater again.
I'm sorry. The mid-season Kansas might show up.
Kansas' first bowl game since 2008.
Yeah, they were streaking mid-season, man, and then, like, I think they had a couple of injuries. And I get why y'all believe in Arkansas so much, but I think I'm going to have to go the other way. I'm going with Kansas.
Okay. The next one up is the Holiday Bowl. Number 15, Oregon, 14-point favorites against North Carolina. UNC in the Holiday Bowl. Tanner, we'll let you start it.
Oh, I think I'm going to go. You're catching a lot. Well, this game, man, I just think there's gonna be so many points. This over-under in this game is 70. They're going to be scoring in this. I mean, large amounts of points. Going to be getting up here, zero defense. Man. I think Oregon's just got a little bit better defense. I could see this score being like 48. I mean, that's a push. I was going to say 48-34.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Man.
Drake May's not playing, right?
He's not. He should. He's coming back next year.
He should be. He's coming back next year. Yeah, he's a freshman.
Yeah, but I think North Carolina's got like 3 guys in the portal that are on that play corner.
Chris Wells in the portal.
All their DB. I don't even know if they're gonna have any. So just for that, Oregon's gonna be narrating it on them. Give me Oregon.
This is gonna be big time points in this game for sure, man. I wouldn't be surprised if North Carolina wins, man.
I mean, Oregon's 7-2-1 and gets the spread as a favorite this year. So just on that, and they covered 5 of the last 6. I'm going on that.
And they are
give me quack.
Right, and they are the more mature team. I think the quarterback on the other side for North Carolina is definitely more talented than the quarterback on the side for North Carolina on Oregon. But I think the Oregon team is just a little bit more mature. Yeah, they probably had hopes to be in some type of playoff situation when their season started, so this is somewhat of like a consolation prize to them. But I think they take this consolation prize real seriously and win this game, man. Again, you're going to see a lot of Drake May. You're going to see I'm pretty sure that he's playing because he's not transferring or turning pro or anything like that. So you're going to see a lot of what makes him special. And what people are going to be talking about in the next 2 seasons at North Carolina with him. So, but as far as this game is concerned, man, Oregon's probably going to win. So, yeah, quack attack.
Yep, I'm taking Oregon as well to cover the 14. I think you got Drake May, who's playing. They got their running backs for North Carolina, don't have any running backs. Criswell went to the portal. Bo Nix playing for Oregon. Bo Nix, you know, wants to go out on another win. So give me Oregon there. By the way, did you know Drake May was offered $5 million from two different schools to transfer?
Damn.
Yeah. $5 million.
I probably would have been Cincinnati.
Yeah, oh yeah, I definitely would have. I'm curious who the schools would be, but Pitt's coach Pat Narduzzi was talking about it the other day on the on Pittsburgh radio, that he had two $5 million offers, which I wonder if one of them was from Pitt, because why the hell would he be talking about it on radio, right? And he has no reason to bring it talking about it. So,
right.
Last one, guys, I have before we do the rest of them on the following week's show. Texas Bowl, Texas Tech versus Ole Miss. Ole Miss -3.5. John Boy, we'll let you start us.
Man, John Boy, I don't know who that is, man, but Johnson's gonna go with Texas Tech.
Ooh, any particular reason? We got any information? Or you're feeling it?
That's who I'm feeling. Yeah.
Okay, Tanner.
Man, I'm looking at some Lions here, and Texas Tech's pretty good against the spread with some extra rest. We've covered some games. Ole Miss did cover a spread against a team with a winning record, but Ole Miss is 12-3 against the spread in bowl games since 1992. I'm just going to take one for Mike Leach, and we'll go Texas Tech -3.5.
Okay. Tanner taking Texas Tech. I think it goes without saying, gentlemen.
Yeah, I knew where you were going. I mean,
that train is coming rolling down the freaking track. Give me Ole Miss -3.5. I loved your... It even confirmed it more with that stat you just gave me. I know they're playing like crap in the year, but I love that stat. I think Lane Train gets the boys on track one more game. I do like their quarterback they have in there as well that came over from Jackson Dart, came from USC. So I do like that. Yeah, give me Ole Miss. So there are our picks, gentlemen. We'll see. We got one more week of big bowl games to pick. And that will then leave us up to the final one. We'll pick the following week for the national championship. We've got the big ones. The big ones start coming in next week. So prepare for that. Jonathan, I know we talked about it during our time at Gainbridge Fieldhouse, but Tanner John was fabergasted. I can't even say it right. Fabergasted of how piss poor Cincinnati played against Louisville.
Disappointed, man. Didn't show up. They didn't show up.
No, man.
So
damn crosstown rival. Crosstown rivals didn't show up. Luke Finkel took everything and put him in the portal.
Yep.
That Addison, the wide receiver from USC, out in the bowl game. Jordan Addison, out.
I did see that. Preparing for the draft, right?
Yeah, he's got a case of bitchitis.
And then somebody from LSU turning pro.
Wait, your boy Plumber that played at Purdue just transferred again. He's gonna be hanging out. He's gonna be hanging with that dude that's looking for 9 years of eligibility.
Isn't that crazy, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they allow it, so, you know. Maybe he hasn't graduated yet.
He's going to be older than us.
I don't know. However long it takes.
He's
going
to be a doctor when he leaves Oregon.
Well, he got a medical red shirt, right?
I don't even know how he's considered a student athlete, and he's going to be a professor by the time he leaves.
Yeah. Right. Damn near. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Did any of y'all, I'll say, I thought, I'm not a big soccer guy, But that was the best soccer game I've ever watched my entire life. That World Cup final had everything in it, and I think anything else would be a major letdown because that was an amazing match. I was on the edge of my seat watching that entire thing Sunday morning with a Bloody Mary. I thought it was great. What was your guys' thoughts?
Dude, I had, I'll send you this bet slip. I had Argentina in penalty kicks plus 800. To win.
Ooh. Ooh, I wish I would have made that bet. Damn it.
Yeah. I was like, I went to bed on time. I was like, what's a big bet that I could make? And I woke up. I mean, I worked late Saturday. I woke up at halftime and they were already up 2-0. I said, damn, that's probably not got a hit. So I just started cheering for France and then Mbappe got hot. And I was like, oh, we got a chance now, baby. And when that thing hit, I was like, let's go. Yeah.
Perfect. John?
Yeah.
No, nah, man, United States has got to get in these conversations, man. We, you know what I'm saying? The team USA has got to get in these conversations, man. When are the premier athletes, you know what I'm saying, going to start playing, you know what I'm saying, soccer, right? Because, like, just what Tanner said, he had to shift his allegiance. He had to start cheering for France, man. You got to find – if you're an American, you got to find a team to root for because your team's automatically out, man. So I know just, you know, saying they have pride. I know that they got a little bit further this year than they have before, but we got to, you know, and they got to get a little deeper, man. So as far as this match is concerned, man, you know, it's hard to really, like, get into, you know what I'm saying, soccer, man, but this, like, how could you not get into all that, you know what I'm saying, again. World Cup, I get why it's the number one, I get why ESPN soccer is the number one sport in the world, not necessarily the United States, but the number one sport in the world, because, man, it has a lot of drama that kind of comes with it, right? So, you got a lot of drama this past weekend, and away you go. So, I mean, that's how I kind of measure it, man. I don't really have a favorite in any of these
right.
Contest. I know Messier, you can't even go home now. You know,
no.
Because he's walking.
Did you see that parade?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He can't go home. You know what I'm saying?
That was one of the largest parades I've ever seen. I'm like,
yeah.
This is one thing I want to say. They said USA doesn't take soccer serious. But, okay, if we don't even have sports that we're good at, we don't even throw parades like they just threw over there.
Right. Soccer was supposed to be big in the United States like 10 years ago, right? Remember when they kept saying that, the next 10 years? That's all we keep hearing.
Right.
So, I thought it was cool, though. Great, great game. Tanner, I guess... we'll keep up with you on Twitter at @T_nuts. I forget what.
Yep.
24, 23, something like that.
23.
Let's see. That's all I've got with you. You got anything else before we let you go?
That's all I got.
I thought Tanner was going to talk big. Hey, man, the North Carolina Tar Heels, great, you know, they turned out a good victory against Ohio State.
They did.
Weekend. They needed it. They're up five right now. They're going to have their hands full this game.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're going to have their hands full against Duke, too.
Oh, boy. We gave Coach K a funeral. And just know that to be fact.
Never mind.
We gave him his funeral. Caleb Love.
They did.
Gave him his funeral. Twice.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just leave it at that.
Exactly. All right, T.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy. And
right.
We'll see you next week.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, fellas.
All right, Tanner Penrod, John. John, I got real quick, just because somebody posted it for me to send. We have talked previously about recruiting for Purdue versus recruiting for Indiana and all of that. I was able to ask a couple questions at a press conference for Purdue after their game. This one was asked not by me, but another guy, and I've got the clip I want to play because I think it describes Purdue perfectly because Indiana likes to go after the five-star athletes, the five-star players, right? Trace Davis Jackson, Romeo Langford, Eric Gordon, those type of five-star, whether they fit in the program or not, right? Five-star, five-star, five-star. So this was Matt Painter's thing regarding this not having five-star recruits.
Five stars in my eyes, and so I could care less than anybody else thinks. And if you saw some of the people that actually, you know, do rank them, it's just like it's impossible. It's impossible to put a bunch of work into 500 kids and be good at it. It just is. You know, because you're seeing them in different formats, you're seeing them in different places. But, no, it's great. You know, you're very fortunate if you got a job and you got enough players in your area to be successful. You're very fortunate. A lot of people will beat coaches up where, like, you didn't keep this kid or get that kid or do this. It's hard. It's hard. You know, if you don't get a good kid in the state of Indiana, there's normally another one. Maybe he's not quite as good, but be grateful for what you have. And so that's what we've always done. We've always looked at those guys. We've signed one McDonald's All-American in 18 years, and we've done pretty well. But I've looked at guys and just, you know, thought they were just as good as some of those guys. They just needed maybe a little bit more time, or maybe one that's tall or quick or whatever it might be. It doesn't mean you can't be a good basketball player. Like, a lot of that rankings get on talent, and I'd rather coach on production.
That's a huge quote right there. Rankings are on talent. I like to coach on production. I think that sums it up right there, why Matt Painter and the Boilermakers are so successful.
And probably, man, so again, man, probably also talking to the guys about the next level, the next step, whether it's playing in an NBA, but not making it a focus of the program. The focus of the program is to win today's game and win how many games for Purdue to get to the tournament, to win the Big Ten championship, to get to the tournament, to win a potential Purdue's first national championship. And that's how they kind of look at basketball. All the other things will kind of come if they are meant to be. That's kind of how they look at basketball. But it's winning first, Purdue style first. It's about the team. You know what I'm saying? And they have individuals. They have individual success. They have guys. We know Zach Edey's probably going to be. They're already talking about. He's all preseason All-American. He's getting player of the year. You know what I'm saying? Nominations, right? So, you know, Purdue's got a shot this year. It's going to be. Somebody said in the chat, you know, it's going to be all up to their guard play and how much, you know what I'm saying, they can hit those outside shots. And drum roll, I'll even add one to that: free throws. You know what I'm saying? So. You like the foundation. That's everybody what says. You like the foundation of Purdue. I know you, Brandon, you're trying to pick and go to the other side. Well, what the hell are you doing? You got this little flashy race car of a team. And what are they doing with it? They're not, I mean, they aren't, quote unquote, excelling. You know what I'm saying? They didn't beat Arizona. They got blown out in Paris in Kansas. You know what I mean? And people kind of think Kansas is going to be this year's national champion. But, like, if IU was a measuring stick, they still kind of stuck in neutral because they weren't in that game. And I know they lost a player, you know, and that's not – it's not necessarily – you know what I mean? They lost a great – you know, one of their better players probably for the year with a broke foot. But, again, they just didn't look like, you know what I'm saying, the IU's back just yet. Even IU to be, like, winning a Big Ten championship. And I know some fools around here kind of declared that, thinking that, you know what I'm saying, Woody – you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Now he's got 4 years. Like, dude, you're not playing NBA-style basketball. He's got these guys thinking they can play NBA style, but they can't shoot. It's not like that. Do they play defense? Yes. Do they rebound forward? Yes. Do they play for one another? Yes. But comparatively,
right,
their foundation is not like Purdue. Not quite. Not quite at all like Purdue. Their foundation of winning is what I'm kind of talking about. So,
yep.
You know, kind of, you know what I'm saying? You know, different levels right now with IU and Purdue right now. So, you know,
yep.
But Purdue playing it real close though, Brandon.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple questions I had during the press conference. One of them about Mason Gillis and his return. This was my question to Painter.
Coach, Mason coming back from injury, how do you assess his performance tonight?
Well, it's hard. You know, it was one of those games where it was tough, and now I'm trying to search out things. Caleb playing well there in the second half, kind of shortened his minutes. I thought he did a great job of not forcing things. You know, he penetrated and pitched and got Ethan a three that one time, one of our three threes. So I don't mean to laugh, but laughing's better than crying. And he just plays so hard, man. It's great to have him back. But a lot of times when you do that, you want to play more so you can kind of find your way. And when you have a deep team, it's really good. But he's done this before. You know, when he got back into our rotation last year, it didn't happen right away. You know, it takes a little bit of time. When Sasha got COVID the one time, like, I brought him off the bench for 3 games.
So, Boilermakers have a game tonight against New Orleans, getting ready to start here at 9 o'clock. New Orleans has only got a couple wins on the year, so Boilermakers should win this one fairly easy. It's a home game back at Mackey. They haven't had very many games at Mackey. Zach Edey is out tonight for the game. Sickness. Then Purdue Boilermaker basketball just tweeted out Zach Edey doubtful for tonight's game. Sick. So you're starting five, Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer, Ethan Morton, Mason Gillis gets the start alongside Caleb First. So like we said, we'll see what Caleb First can do again if he can play it for a full 40 minutes instead of just a half of a game. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. John, I'll let you I want to thank everybody. I hope everybody has a great Christmas. Enjoys the bowl games. Enjoy your Christmas. Stay safe with the weather. Going to be cold as hell coming up. Roads are going to be a nasty. Stay at home. Drink that alcoholic eggnog like I'm going to be. hang out with friends, family. But be safe. Enjoy your Christmas. Enjoy your sports. You'll catch up with me on Twitter, on Facebook. We'll be doing it every day as we always do. John, I'll let you kind of say your thing and finish this off, my man.
Yeah, man. So we had a wonderful show. We want to thank our guest, Danny Limelight, the current. I ain't going to mess up the same, man. I'm just going to call him the current recognized Crossroads Sports, who we recognize as the world heavyweight champion, Danny Limelight. Thank you for coming on to the show. Man, thanks, United Network Wrestling as well, for, you know, for allowing us to have him come on the show as well, man. Thanks to all the guys who, you know, the folks who kind of chimed in on the live today. Thanks to Tanner Payrod, T-Nuts, on Twitter, for calling, T-Nuts_23 for calling in. And it's always good to chop it up with him and pick his brain about sports betting, man. How could we do it without our sponsors, Maverick Customs Motorsports, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, and Wiseman Logistics? How could we do Scott Sports without them? Thank you to them as well. Happy holidays, everyone. Anytime you see me from here, everybody knows me, John the Burton. Christmas is my favorite holiday, man. Anytime you see me or see anything from me, whether it be on my Facebook page, whether it be on my Twitter handle, Three Foolish Men, it's always going to be right. Happy Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, man. How you doing? You know what I'm saying? All those things, man. I love Christmas. Outside of that, man, I'm very thankful for Crossroads Sports. Very thankful for like our sponsors. Very thankful for every interaction that we've had, whether D-Cock calling in, Scott K. Nichols sometimes chiming in, our sponsor kind of chiming in on the line. Sometimes coach from Purdue, Brandon calls in and chops it up with us, man. Danny Limelight, you know what I'm saying, making the rotation back with us, man. It's great to chop it up with him, man. Tanner, you know, who I don't want to forget about, Justin, Mike Kelly, man. It's always good to, you know what I'm saying, dude, where's the homie at from the East Coast? He ain't called in a long time. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no.
So many people, man, you know what I'm saying, that, you know what I'm saying, make Crossroads, Tamika, for making Crossroads Sports great when they good things to chiming in and calling in. So, again, thank you. Happy holidays to all those folks. And thank you, you know what I'm saying, for making Crossroads Sports we got another show before the end of the year. But, man, just thankful for everybody interaction and whatnot and helping Crossroads Sports grow and all that. So, again, I took up so much time and saying goodbye. So, I thought we'll see you next week, man. Everybody, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.